Let's Talk is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give. And we're live. Howdy, y'all. To quote Father Corey, you're listening to Let's Talk. This is the SQPN Community Podcast. I'm Dom Bettinelli, and today I'm happy to be joined once again by Father Corey Stika. Hi, Father Corey.
How's it going?
Very well, thanks. So as a reminder, folks, this is a special short-form podcast that we're doing as long as we're all get time on our hands in the morning, and as we have this availability, and our goal here is to provide a little light, a little levity, some ideas for how to spend some time. Although, as I was saying to Melanie as we were recording our podcast last night, I don't have as much free time as I think people think we have, but
I know, right? It's funny. It's like, as a priest, I'm thinking, oh, gee, I don't have as much going on, and I can go do things. Like, no, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm preparing for this. Like, where's my free time?
Exactly. Well, anyway, we want to stay connected to you all, our audience, our friends, our community, and we love to be connected with you. And we want to, you know, have some conversation and just enjoy this time with you and maybe give some ideas. So we're going to do this every weekday, pretty much as long as we can, on Facebook Live, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific, figure out the times in the middle. I think it's 8:30 Mountain Time.
8:30 for those of us who count.
Exactly. And then we'll post it in the Let's Talk feed as audio, the podcast feed, and on our SQPN YouTube channel as a video. So first, I would say hi to Jeff Miller, who's in the chat room, and Amy. Oh, Amy, I'm gonna massacre your last name. Svacek. I hope I got that right. So let me know if I didn't. I want to first mention something that got posted. We posted this morning on SQPN in the Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World podcast feed. Jimmy and I recorded a quick update over the weekend. It's a short 10-minute update. It's a coronavirus update where Jimmy and I talked about how we're handling it on the show and the coronavirus discussion. We record those well in advance. A bunch of our shows we actually record weeks in advance, and so we haven't been able to do a show on the coronavirus yet because we're still working through the ones we recorded before all this happened, and plus it's such a fast moving thing. By the time we recorded something, it'd probably be out of date by the time we posted. Exactly. So we'll Jimmy has got some plans. He's about talking about things, and so we're gonna put something together soon, but we'll encourage you all to listen to that and just see how we're handling things. So, and send in some ideas. So I did want to, before we get started, I did want to mention, I think some folks have noticed that I have my t-shirts that I wear. I wear a different t-shirt every day. So I'm going to do like a new thing, Dom's t-shirt of the day. And so I'll stand up to show you all my shirt for today. OMG. There it is. Backwards. It's R2-D2. I loved him in Star Trek.
And of course it's a Dalek.
And of course it's a Dalek on my shirt. So I love mashups. And since
you didn't choose that because of the Star Trek or the Doctor Who episode we're recording this later this morning, did you?
Well, given that we record both Secrets of Star War, Star Trek, and Secrets of Doctor Who, back to back, a mashup.
It works.
It works. You'll notice as we go through it, I have lots of mashup T-shirts. I just enjoy mashups. Those are one of my favorite things. So, Father Corey, how's it going? How was your weekend? Do anything fun?
Oh, well, you know, I kind of hung around the house, you know, celebrated mass, you know, yeah, not much going on. It's been kind of interesting to figure everything out as far as, you know, as a priest, you know, doing the live stream masses like so many priests are doing. I'm trying to, by the way, YouTube live stream yesterday was not happy. I think a lot of people, well, first of all, I think the internet's getting kind of saturated a little bit because everybody's sitting at home, you know, yep, streaming and stuff. But also, I think there's a lot more live streams of different types, not just masses going on. But one thing I'm trying to do is, as a priest, you know, one of my jobs is catechesis. So I'm doing a live stream catechesis, I'm calling it. where it's basically I try to get on. You know, my intention was 15 minutes, but yeah, there's a reason why we do podcasts. Once we get a microphone in front of us, we start talking, and it ends up being about a half an hour. But I'm kind of working through the Liturgy of the Hours, how to pray the Liturgy of the Hours. What is the structure of the Liturgy of the Hours and how to pray it? Focusing on, you know, what each part is and what you should do at those, you know, at those different times, because it's a question you get a lot for someone like me who went to seminary. We've prayed the Liturgy of the Hours in commons for 4 to 8 years, kind of know what we're doing. But your average layperson, not so much. And there are tools out there that help. And sometimes that's as much as Primodium saying, you know, if you want to, you know, instead of picking up the big book, you know, we all have these lovely books that, you know, that you can buy, which, by the way, these are going out of date, hopefully in about 5 years or less. But you can use things like iBravery on your phone, where it's all there. You just keep scrolling and follow the directions. You can use things like PrayStation Portable, produced by SQPN.
Yep.
Great way to follow along, because he does a good job of just reading the Liturgy Hours. So it's something simple I can do while I'm sitting here. Again, spend a half an hour just staring at my webcam like we do when we do our podcasts and teaching.
Nice. I think that's a great. I just love the creative ways so many people, especially so many of our priests, are finding to connect with folks in different ways using the technology. I've been an advocate of the church using more technology for a long time now. And I don't like why we have to do this, but I like the fact that we are doing this, that we're finding these ways of connecting with folks. And I was just saying to Melanie, like, you know, I bet a priest have a lot fewer meetings than they did before.
We got a conference call this morning, so.
Right. So, yeah, they'll find ways to fill up your time. So that's awesome. I like that. I like that you're doing this catechesis of divine office, and that your ministry, as we know on the internet, it goes well beyond the borders of your parish and can reach lots of people, which is fantastic. So as we move along, do you have a recommendation of something entertaining folks can enjoy at this time?
I do have a recommendation. It's another HBO show. Like last week I did one. So there is caveat of language and a brief scene of nudity, which is actually rather comical. It's actually a funny scene.
I'm trying to remember. I've seen this one that you're going to mention. But
so it's the movie or the show I'm talking about. It's a 6-part dramatization of Chernobyl.
Right.
So it's the name is Chernobyl. And for those who don't remember, in 1986, you know, Dom and I, we're both of the age that we remember this happening.
Yep.
I was 10 at the time, or going to be 10 at the time. Dom was,
a
little older.
Not by much.
But on April 26, 1986, so the anniversary is only coming up a month from now, the Chernobyl nuclear power plant, one of its reactors blew up. I mean, just flat out blew up.
Right.
And started releasing massive quantities of radiation, both with what was left of the plant that exploded, but also then exposing it up into the atmosphere. And it, I mean, this radiation went all around the world. You know, there are places, you know, it was first actually seen in Sweden.
Right. At a
nuclear plant in Sweden was the first to find it. And so this story talks about from the moment of the explosion to what was the response? Well, how did the party, the Soviet Union, the Communist Party handle it? Not well. What happened on site? How did they kind of change things and get the response and the different things they had to deal with throughout? It was very well. It's a very well done series. Like I said, it's a 6-part series. The first episode is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1 a.m., 1:23 in the morning, 45 seconds.
Oh, interesting.
And because that was the exact moment of the explosion. Was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. The way they, if you look at Wikipedia, it says, you know, 1:23:40 is when it happened. And as if I recall from the movie, that is when they started the test that 5 seconds later caused the boom.
Right. So one of the things I found out, I heard from people involved in nuclear science, some of the science is a bit off. They've modified it for dramatization purposes. Right. Like if you fly a helicopter overhead, it's not going to melt. Just that doesn't happen. Well,
Well, I think that the issue with the helicopter wasn't that the helicopter was going to melt. It's that the people in the helicopter were going to get such an insane amount of radiation that they were like basically dead. They were walking dead at that point.
That's what they were. They were dramatizing that so that you could see on screen the immediate result. But the eventual result was that, these people were going to die. And so many people just threw themselves in knowing they were going to die. It was bad. I mean, really, actually, the heroics was
That's the biggest thing they show. Like, there's one scene where they're clearing off one of the building's roofs from radioactive material, like the actual material that that got expelled from the reactor, like the carbon lining that got expelled from the reactor. And they literally had like 90 seconds they could be out there.
Right. And then they had to come back.
Slams, rings like a gong of piece of metal, and they had to run out there with shovels, shovel a bunch of crap back down into the reactor and get off in like 90 seconds.
Yeah. It was just crazy to watch. And it's such good acting. I forget the name of the actor who played the lead role of the lead scientist.
I'm not even going to try to remember any of the names.
Yeah. I've seen him in a couple different things. He's a British actor, and he's British or Irish. Harris, I think his last name. Anyway, so good. Yeah. Barb in the chat room says it was a great series. A few scenes are scary, intense.
Some very intense scenes. Very, very intense scenes, especially like when they're having to go into the reactor room or down underneath the reactor at one point to drain water out, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just kind of mention that, it is a dramatization. So, for example, they explain this at the end that one of the scientists, a female scientist, was actually a conglomeration of a bunch of scientists who worked on the project. So it wasn't like two scientists, but there was actually a team of them, and they just combined that whole team into this one scientist. Fair enough. I mean, that makes it easier for on screen. And then the nudity scene I talked about was a bunch of miners who had to dig underneath the reactor.
Right.
Because they were going to the glob of radioactive sludge was going to basically work its way down. It was a legitimate concern. And if it got into the earth, it was going to basically disperse into all the water systems for like basically all of Ukraine and a lot of Russia.
Right.
I mean, it was a huge concern. And so they had to dig underneath so they could basically put a giant coolant system like your breweries have and things like that.
Yep. To cool everything down
underneath it.
Yeah.
Well, it got so hot there, it got to like 50 degrees Celsius.
Right. It's over 100.
I'm not even the conversion into Fahrenheit. It's really hot. So they went old school mining. It just stripped off.
You see these Ukrainian miners running around completely naked. Yeah, you were right. That was kind of funny.
There is a scene of nudity, but first of all, it's definitely not sexy. And
it's not furry.
It's quite comical.
Yeah, yeah. I would also recommend that go to YouTube and look for the I think it's the Nova, the PBS Nova special talking about how they're building a new cap for Chernobyl. This big, it's one of the largest construction projects ever, the largest mobile building ever. It's this cap that they're going to roll over it. That's funny. In the chat room, Jeff adds strip mining.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the old school strip mining. That's one thing is I don't know how many people realize this, but they did put a cap over the reactor eventually. They don't talk about that in this series, but it was meant to be temporary.
Yeah,
it was quick.
And it's decaying.
It was thrown up there. Yeah. They just get it done, get the heck out of there.
Right. It's decaying. It's not going to last. And if it collapses, if the building itself collapses now, it's going to send up another giant cloud of radioactive dust. We don't have enough to worry about these days. Let's worry about another
thing. Let's have Chernobyl react. The scary part is I didn't realize this until I was watching the show and kind of doing a little reading. They used the other reactors for another 15 years or something like that as power plants.
Gosh. That's scary. That's a great recommendation. Take your mind off of the current situation and
probably think about a worse disaster.
Think about something that was worse, right? Well, I have a fun recommendation I want to recommend. I've been watching a lot of YouTube lately, and so one of my favorite YouTube channels is called the Slingshot Channel by this German gentleman named Jörg Sprave, and he's like a German mad scientist of hand-powered projectile weapons.
Nice.
So what he does is he comes up with these great ideas for how to like improve on, say, a bow, like a regular bow and arrow. And he builds this contraption that it instant reloads. So it like basically puts a magazine onto a bow, and he calls it the instant Legolas. And
there you go.
it's so accurate. It's so much fun to watch, and he has so much fun doing it. And like his trademark is, he says, you know, he introduces the object and goes, "Let me show you its features." He's got this great German voice, and then he always laughs. He says so much fun. He's got this laughs in German. It's how I say it. It's such a great channel. I'll put the link in the show notes. It's so much fun to watch him. And he's so inventive and so clever. So he's got this great engineering mind. So that's Jörg Sprav. So I think that should do it for today. I do want to take a moment to thank our patrons who make it possible for us to create Let's Talk, and their generous donations at sqpn.com/give make it possible for us to continue Let's Talk and all the shows at StarQuest. And you can join them by visiting sqpn.com/give. We'd love to hear from you. Like I said, we're doing this every weekday, and you're welcome to join us in the chat room. But you can also send us comments by going to sqpn.com, on the SQPN Facebook page. It's facebook.com/StarQuestMedia, or send an email to letstalk@sqpn.com. And I'll put the links to the things we talked about on our website at sqpn.com/letstalk. Until next time, Father Corey Stika, thank you for joining me on Let's Talk. And once again, I'm Dom Bettinelli. Thank you for listening to Let's Talk on StarQuest.